Good afternoon, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word. And hope you'll be able to stick with us here this afternoon. Enjoyed the program in the last half hour with Pastor Lutz. Hope you were listening there. And then stay tuned, and Pastor Rusnacko will be joining us at 2 o'clock. Always enjoyable. And I just appreciate these men and the work that they're doing, and the good teaching and preaching that they're putting out. There's others as well, but as Pastor Lutz said, this is kind of like the Baptist trifecta, three of us in a row, all Baptist pastors. And with that in mind, I'm going to share something here too before we get into our Bible study here this afternoon. But and also before we do even that, just to remind you, you can check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you'll find out more about me, more about the church, and also you can listen to past programs. You can listen to our Sunday night programs. We're on every Sunday night from 10 o'clock until midnight right here on AM 1220, The Word, and that's in addition to our Friday afternoon programs. You can listen to all those. We have I have podcasts available there at livewithpastoral.com. Also want to let you know there's a number of articles and things that I've written there, and the other night I put together our collection of articles and things that I have done over the years on and related to Christmas, and I have those up on our website at Live with Pastor Al right now. And I've got, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 articles there. Actually, 6 are articles, and I should say 5 are articles. One is The Birth of Christ as Recorded in the Scriptures, which isn't an article. It is just a compilation of the account of the birth of Christ as it's recorded in the King James Bible, and no extraneous words of any sort. A number of passages from the Old Testament through the Gospels and elsewhere in the New Testament, all together giving a record of the birth of Christ, from the announcements, the prophecies, to the announcement by the angels, to the actual birth, and the events that followed that. And so let me encourage you to check that out. You can get that for free and download it and use it for your own home devotional at Christmas, or perhaps at your church. You know, some people have used them for both those things. And that's The Birth of Christ as Recorded in the Scriptures. And then there's also, let's see, so that was not an article. The articles are The Spirit of Herod is Alive and Well. That's the most recent one. O Christmas Tree, O Christmas Tree or Idolatry. And that's looking at Jeremiah, the infamous passage in Jeremiah that comes up every year about this time. And what does Jeremiah say in regards to the Christmas tree? And then why was the virgin birth of Jesus Christ necessary? Was it just merely to fulfill a prophecy? Although that's a good reason. There's more to it than that. And then who were the shepherds? Why did the angels appear to certain shepherds and not other shepherds? And I think the answer there may surprise you. And very important as to who these shepherds were and why the angels were sent to them specifically. And then the next article, why was Jesus made a little lower than the angels? And that looks at the incarnation and the fact that Jesus had to become a man to dwell among us in order, one, to experience the things that we experience, to be tempted like as we are, and then in order to be crucified, to be sacrificed for our sins. He could not have done that had he not been made a little lower than the angels, become a man and dwelt among us. And then, like I said, we have the birth of Christ as recorded in the Scriptures. And then the last two listed there are actually their parodies of some familiar Christmas tales. One is 'Twas the Night Before Winterfest, and the other is How the ACLU Stole Christmas, with apologies to Dr. Seuss. So I hope you'll enjoy those, and you can check them out at livewithpastoral.com. Also want to mention coming up at the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, and if you go to livewithpastoral.com, you can link to the Richfield Bible Baptist Church website. We have our Christmas Eve candlelight service coming up 1 week from Sunday on Christmas Eve during our 6 o'clock, our evening service at 6 o'clock, our Christmas Eve candlelight service, and then we've got a special program being planned for Christmas Eve on the radio, 10 to 11. Pastor Lutz of North Coast Baptist Church will be joining me, and we are going to hopefully put together a program that will be a blessing and encouragement to you on Christmas Eve. And again, just want to thank Pastor Lutz for having me out at his church last weekend for their Christmas banquet. Had a great time meeting with the folks out there at North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood. If you're out on the west side and you're looking for a great church, I wholeheartedly recommend them there in Lakewood, North Coast Baptist Church. All right, well, let's get into a couple things. Let's have a quick word of prayer. And one more thing I want to share before we continue looking at future events according to the Scriptures. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the opportunity to be on the air today. Bless the program. Use us for your glory. Thank you that we can spend this time of year celebrating and remembering what Christ did for us in his birth and his incarnation. And I just pray again that you would just continue to help us keep the focus on Christ during this Christmas season. And we thank you. Bless the program now this afternoon for your glory, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, just want to share one thing here before we get back to some of the things in the Scriptures that I've been going through. I found, actually, I did not realize this until this morning, almost by accident, but today is actually the 23rd anniversary of the ratification of the Bill of Rights. Now, you say, why is that important? That was ratified on December 15th, 1791. And that was the first 10 amendments to the United States Constitution were ratified, thus adding the Bill of Rights to the U.S. Constitution. The Bill of Rights was originally submitted as a package of recommendations to the House Select Committee on Amendments in 1789 by James Madison. Madison, in turn, submitted the amendments in fulfillment in his agreement with the influential Baptist pastor and leader, Reverend John Leland. Now, John Leland is a very, very interesting person. He's one of the people that is responsible for the United States of America, but is very unknown and unappreciated. In fact, the story of Leland and Madison and the Bill of Rights is probably one of the more unknown and unappreciated stories behind the adoption of both the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And I put online a link. If you go to our social media, we're on Facebook, we're on Getter, we're on Gab, we're on MeWe, we're on Truth Social, we're on Telegram, we're on a number of things. If you go to our website at livewithpastoral.com, that's livewithpastoral.com, you can find some of those sites, and you can see the link to this particular article here, and it's entitled "Speak Freely Without Fear" by Reed Ricardi. I believe it is. And it's an interesting short read. It's not a long read, but I think it'll open your eyes to some of the things that have happened leading up to the adoption of our Constitution, because what you have to understand is when the Constitution was being debated before being accepted and ratified as the Constitution of the United States, there were the Federalists and the Anti-Federalists, and the Anti-Federalists for a while seemed to be having the upper hand, and one of the leaders of the Anti-Federalists actually was John Leland, and and he was very influential in the Baptists in Virginia in particular, and it wasn't so much what the Constitution said, but what the Constitution did not say that concerned Leland and the Baptists. And so they actually were advocating against the ratification, and Leland himself was going to be the representative. He was put forward to be voted on as representative to the Constitutional Convention in terms of the ratification for Virginia, and likely would have voted against it, and that would have meant that the Virginia likely would have voted against ratifying the Constitution, which would have probably prevented it from passing or being accepted and led to the breakup of the young country, the young United States of America. And you say, well, why were they so upset? What was their problem with the Constitution? Well, as I said before, it wasn't so much what it said, it was what it didn't say. And Leland had spent some time in New England when he was younger, where he had been persecuted, and the Baptists were persecuted. You know, you look at the history of Baptists in Massachusetts, for instance, where they were persecuted horrendously for their position of separation of church and state, their position of freedom of conscience and freedom of worship. Remember the Massachusetts Bay and then the state of Massachusetts, the Congregational Church was the state church. They'd also experienced a great deal of persecution in Virginia and other of the colonies and then the new states, being in thrown in jail, for instance, in Virginia and Massachusetts and elsewhere for preaching without a state license and a variety of other things. And I don't have time to go into all that right now. But Leland became actually a friend of Thomas Jefferson and supported his movements toward freedom of religion. In fact, he lived about 30 miles from Monticello. He also lived about 10 miles or so from James Madison. And when Madison heard that Leland was opposing him and against the Constitution, he had a meeting. You can actually go there. It's outside of Orange, Virginia. My wife and I have been there. And it's a little plaque dedicated to Leland and Madison meeting. And they worked out a deal. Leland said that the Baptists would support Madison, and Leland himself would step out of the race if Madison would guarantee some amendments to the Constitution that would preserve our basic rights, chief of which is the First Amendment, and it has to do with freedom of religion. And so as a consequence, Madison won. And the Constitution was adopted, and then very shortly after its adoption, Madison put forward the Bill of Rights. And as I said, on this day, the Bill of Rights on December 15th, 1791, was ratified and became a part of the Constitution. So if you like freedom of speech and freedom of the press and freedom to assemble and freedom of religion and the right to redress the government for redress of grievances, not to mention the Second Amendment and the other eight amendments in the Bill of Rights, well, thank a Baptist today. It's Bill of Rights Day, and it really is because of the Baptists and their influence on James Madison that gave us the Bill of Rights and also saved the Constitution and probably the United States of America. So, all right. Well, getting back to other things here today, we have been talking about future events. And last week I left off in Zechariah, and we were talking about the return of Christ. We were in Zechariah and as well as Revelation chapter 19. And I had mentioned that the last three chapters of Zechariah was almost like an extended commentary on Revelation 19. And let me go back to Revelation 19 here first, then we'll go to Zechariah. In Revelation 19, we have the return of Christ given to us here. And let me start there again. It says in verse 11, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and him that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he did judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed with fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun. He cried with a loud voice, saying, all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken with him, the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive in the lake of fire, burning with brimstone, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Now, jumping back over to Zechariah. In Zechariah chapter 14, the Bible says that in verse number 4, and his feet talking about when the Lord comes. Actually, let's read verse 3 here. And he shall go, then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem in the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley. And half of the mountain shall remove toward the north and half of it toward the south. And as I said before, there's a fault line through the Mount of Olives that's been documented. It's been studied. And if it were triggered, the Mount of Olives would split in half, just like Zechariah chapter 14 said. This is one of those amazing scientific proofs of the Bible. The Bible is not written as a scientific textbook, but the things that it addresses when it addresses science is true. And how would they have known this? Well, that's because God told him. God inspired Zechariah to write those words. Well, the Lord returns, and when he comes back to the earth, it says this in verse 12. And as I said, this is kind of an interesting statement when you read this. It says in verse 12, Zechariah 14, verse 12, and this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongues shall consume away in their mouth. And it shall come to pass in that day that a great tumult from the Lord shall be among them. And they shall lay hold every one on the hand of his neighbor, and his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor. And Judah shall also fight at Jerusalem. And the wealth of all the heathen round about shall be gathered together, gold and silver and apparel in great abundance. And so shall be the plague of the horse and of the mule and of the camel and of the ass and of all the beasts that shall be in these tents as this plague. And what's interesting with that is, you know, if you've ever seen the movie Raiders of the Lost Ark, the original in the Indiana Jones movies, and they go to open the ark up, and he's tied there with, I believe it's, I'm trying to think of her name, Marion, and they're tied up, and he says, don't look, Marion, don't look. And as they open up the ark, I'm convinced personally that whoever figured out and wrote out that scene, that what they did when they opened up the ark is that they had read this passage in Zechariah, where it says right there in Zechariah 14:12, their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. If you've seen that movie, that is a depiction of exactly what the Bible says will happen. I'm not recommending the movie as a great theological statement or something, but what I'm getting at is this is something that is very graphic. And in Revelation chapter 19, when it says that the sword proceeds out of his mouth, and these people are destroyed there, and he smites the nations with them. And it says, the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. What happens, apparently, when Jesus returns and he begins to defend Jerusalem, as a number of things begin happening there, the Bible says that literally God strikes these people gathered against Jerusalem, strikes the armies of the Antichrist, and as he does this, they literally are consumed as they stand upon their feet. Now, a lot of people have tried to say, well, this looks like a nuclear blast of some sort or whatever. It might be, but all I know is God holds everything together in the palm of his hand, and you got the various forces inside of the atom, which should cause the atom to fly apart were it not for the fact that God's holding it together, and all he has to do is let it fly apart with these people, and literally the flesh would consume away while they stand upon their feet, and all like we saw there as I read in Zechariah 14. In verse 12. And then in addition to that, confusion amongst the others before they're destroyed. And he said in verse 14, Judah also shall fight at Jerusalem. And the Jewish people, as I've said before, will by this time have realized that Jesus is their Messiah, and those who are there in Jerusalem will have embraced Christ as their Messiah. And the Bible says in Zechariah chapter number 12, he says in verse 6, in that day will I make the governors of Judah like an hearth of fire among the wood, and like a torch of fire in the sheaf, and they shall devour all the people round about on the right hand and on the left, and Jerusalem shall be inhabited in her own place, even in Jerusalem. And so God is going to go forth fighting, and he's going to supernaturally empower the Jewish people there in and around Jerusalem to fight as well. And the enemies of God and the enemies of the Jewish people, the enemy of God's people will be defeated. And God will then set up a kingdom here on earth. Jesus Christ will assume the throne of David in Jerusalem. And it says in I'll go back to Revelation here. Actually, let me go back to Zechariah before I go to Revelation. Zechariah 14, verse 16, it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the feast of the tabernacles. Now, did you catch that? The King, the Lord of hosts, that's Jesus, who will be sitting on the throne in Jerusalem. And what happens in Revelation chapter 19 is they are defeated, and the Antichrist is defeated and his armies, the beast. And in Revelation 19 and 20, the beast was taken with him, the false prophet that wrought miracles before him. They are cast into the lake of fire. Satan himself is taken. In Revelation 20 and verse 1, I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more, until the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. Now think about this. The devil is bound for 1,000 years in the bottomless pit. You ever try to figure out what a bottomless pit would be? Where would the bottom be? Think about this. If you could drill a hole through the center of the earth, okay? If you drilled a hole through the center of the earth and you jumped in it, let's forget about all the incredible heat as you go down through the mantle and into the core. But let's just, hypothetically, as you dropped into that hole, you would plummet down until you reach the center of the earth. Once you reach the center of the earth, you would start going up because everything is up from the center of the earth. And then eventually you'd fall back down. Eventually you go up and down until you would come to rest in the center of the earth. And once you're in the center of the earth, every direction would be up. It's kind of like the old joke, you know, a guy has a house that has all southern windows, southern exposure on each side, and he sees a bear walk by. What color's the bear? Well, the answer is white. It's a polar bear because he's on the North Pole. If you're standing on the North Pole, every direction is south until you step away from the North Pole. The devil is going to be bound in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. The Bible indicates that it would be at the center of the earth. We know nothing about the center of the earth. We have guesses, but we have no way of finding what's at the center of the earth. And some odd combination that God has, spiritual, physical realm there. But the center of the earth is where the devil will be bound for 1,000 years. The 1,000 years, there's going to be a reign of Christ on this earth. And that millennial kingdom is exciting. We'll be talking about that in the future. But I just want you to know, we have plenty to look forward to. And eventually, we'll see Christ rule and reign for 1,000 years. Well, it all begins with the birth of Christ at Christmas. So keep with us. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend. God bless.
You've been listening to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com, read articles on a variety of topics by Pastor Al at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to join him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and then every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoll.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 10 to midnight. And again, next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.